Good morning, Greater Sudbury. Here are a few stories to start your day on this Tuesday morning. KED bidders express concerns about conflicts of interest. Project costs a series of 40 questions and answers between three shortlisted Kingsway Entertainment District Design, Build bidders and the City of Greater Sudbury reveals a number of their concerns. The most detailed of these questions, answers centers on an alleged conflict of interest with one of the bidding groups, Ball, Tesk Construction Inc., which partnered with Architecture 49 Inc. on a bid for the design, build of the proposed center's municipal arena off of the Kingsway. The CEO of Tesk Construction Inc. is Dario Zulik, who is also the land developer partner who has entered into a comprehensive cost-sharing agreement with the city for ground preparation work. He is also the owner of the Sudbury Wolves hockey team and Sudbury 5 basketball team, which will both use the arena. The design, build teams were shortlisted prior to the Kingsway being selected as the preferred site for the project, the city clarified in their response to the inquiry. No proponents involved in this bid solicitation process have participated in the preparation of the bid solicitation nor will be involved in the evaluation of proposals or decisions with regards to the contract award, the city added. Read the full story here. Man arrested after tossing smoke grenade at officers, then pointing a fake gun at them. A volatile situation on March 4 between Greater Sudbury Police and a man in the city could have ended up much worse after he tossed a smoke grenade at officers, then pointed a replica firearm at them. Greater Sudbury Police were called around 6:20 p.m. on March 4 to a home on Sable Street in Greater Sudbury in order to arrest an individual on reasonable and probable grounds for criminal harassment. When officers arrived at the home, GSPS said the man exited with what appeared to be an explosive device, pulled the pin from the device and threw it towards the officers. The device began to dispense smoke and the man went back inside the residence. Seconds later, the man exited the residence again, this time with what was believed to be a handgun. The man began to walk towards the officers with the firearm pointed at them. The officers directed the man to drop the firearm, however, he did not listen and racked the gun as he continued to walk towards them. The officers continued to demand that the man drop the firearm. The man eventually dropped the gun, but he then pulled out a knife and began waving it at the officers as he advanced towards them. The officers used a conducted energy weapon, CEW, to safely arrest the man, taking him into custody. The man is charged with two counts of criminal harassment, two counts of pointing a firearm, three counts of possession of a weapon for a dangerous purpose, carrying a concealed weapon, six counts of assaulting police with a weapon, using an imitation firearm while committing an indictable offense, using explosives, and careless use of a firearm. He attended weekend and statutory holiday, WASH, court on March 5 to answer to the charges. Sudbury shows its support for the Ukraine community. The rainy weather Sunday did little to dampen the spirits of the more than 100 people who gathered on Notre Dame Avenue to stand in solidarity with Ukraine as Russia continues its invasion. Ukrainians and non-Ukrainians alike held signs and waved many Ukrainian flags. Following the rally, a service was held at St. Mary's Ukrainian Catholic Church. Yuriy Sherbik has been in Canada for a little over a year. His family lives in the western part of Ukraine, in the Ivano-Frankivsk County. Their airport has been bombed. Thanks to God, my family is safe right now, Sherbik said. They have organized themselves into self-defense units and are helping to do what they can. They are arranging for shelter for refugees from the eastern part of Ukraine, where things are much worse. Sherbik came to Canada because he wanted a new experience. Right now, he is working as a social worker. I wanted to see the world, he said, adding while his family is happy he is not in Ukraine right now, he feels guilty that he is here and his family is not. I'm scared for them, and I feel guilty, he said. Read the full story here. Kivi Park receives $445,000 in federal funding for trail lighting. A bright spot on Greater Sudbury's landscape just got a little brighter, with $444,891 in federal funding going toward the lighting of Kivi Park's trails. Various dignitaries gathered at the 480-acre park off of Long Lake Road in Sudbury's South End to celebrate the FedNor funding announcement, which Kivi Park Community Foundation Chair Bill Best said is being matched by private donations. Some very generous donors decided that lighting up the park was something they were interested in, so they put some dollars in as well to make the dollars go further, he told Sudbury. Calm after the media conference, adding that these lights will help expand the lighting effort even further. Today's announcement of federal dollars will go toward lighting the parking lot and a 3.5-kilometer section of four-season multi-use trail. Light poles have been installed throughout the affected area and solar lights have been placed on 2 kilometers of them so far, Kivi Park Executive Director Carrie Lamarkey said, adding that they're just waiting on the final shipment of lights to complete the project. Read the full story here. Report. Sudbury needs immigrants, but it also needs policies to help make them feel welcome. A new paper by the Northern Policy Institute, NPI, is focused not only on the importance of immigration to Northern Ontario, but also ways in which the city of Sudbury can live up to its name as a welcoming community for newcomers using anti-racist policies and procedures that add understanding and accountability. The report was created by Larissa Yantha, a prior policy analyst at NPI who now acts as special projects coordinator for the municipality of West Nipissing, and the findings of the series will be used by Sudbury's local immigration partnership. Achieving a prosperous Northern Ontario relies heavily on the ability of its regions to effectively attract, settle, and retain immigrants, refugees, and the existing population, states the paper. Unfortunately, immigrants and diverse groups still face significant barriers to success and are ultimately falling behind their non-immigrant counterparts. Some findings of the paper state that in order for a community to be welcoming, there must be ongoing dialogue, anti-racism policies that are continuously developed and renewed, participation from Indigenous people and others who are marginalized, accountability in cases of racism and victim support, as well as larger institutions and systemic change. The Local Immigration Partnership, part of Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship Canada, focuses on the development of different initiatives to ensure that Greater Sudbury can attract the newcomers it desperately needs to prosper in the future. A report released by the Come North Project in February of last year stated that in order to maintain a historical and healthy ratio of dependents to workers, the North must retain its current population as well as attract 1,700 new residents a year minimum for 20 years just to keep pace. It will need 162,000 new residents over 2 decades to halt ongoing population decline. The Local Immigration Partnership released statistics that show that adding even 500 newcomers to the city would generate $41 million in new spending. Read the full story here. Tough third period sees Wolves fall to Barrie 8-4. The Sudbury Wolves saw their record fall to 1-9-2-9-3-2 after a disappointing loss to the Barrie Colts on Sunday afternoon. Barrie opened the scoring Sunday at about a minute into the frame when Bo Jelsma made it a 1-0 Barrie game. The Wolves answered quickly though, with Ethan Larman scoring his 14th of the season to tie it up. The teams would trade shots for the next 5 or 6 minutes until Barrie would retake the lead at the 8-minute mark on a goal by Chris Grisolia, and 2 minutes later Barrie's Evan Vierling scored to push the Colts' lead to 3-1. Vierling was back at it in the second, scoring his second of the game just 9 seconds into the period to give Barrie a 4-1 lead. The Wolves weren't done though. David Goyette scored just past the 6-minute mark to make it a 4-2 game, then Evan Kanyon would score 3 minutes later to pull the Wolves to within one of Barrie. The game would remain 4-3 for the rest of the second period with the Wolves keeping the pressure on. The third would see Barrie's Declan McDonald score 19 seconds into the frame to give the Colts a 5-3 lead. Then, Barrie would go on a tear, scoring 3 more unanswered goals over the next 15 minutes and taking a commanding 8-3 lead. Sudbury's coach Adelic would pick up a late period goal to make it an 8-4 game, but it was too little, too late, and the game ended with that score. The loss sees the Wolves' record fall to 1-9-2-9-3-2, good for 9th in the Eastern Conference, and 18th overall in the OL. The team is back in action at home on March 9 when the Sioux Greyhounds come to town. Mild day in store, but brace for the wind. Expect a mix of sun and cloud for your Tuesday with a high of -1. The wind will be out of the southwest at 20 km per hour, gusting to 40 in the morning, so expect a wind chill of -17 in the morning and -7 in the afternoon. Tonight, the temperature will drop to -7 under cloudy skies.